Good morning, this is Cyril Stevens in Christmas Valley. And again, it's my honor and privilege to bring to you some nuggets of truth and some joy from the salvation that is ours, called alive in Christ, being born again. I ask you to just follow along for a little while and let me share with you from the truth of the Word of God. We've looked at lots of things, and one of the things that I've looked at when it comes to Acts of the Apostles is prayer. Notice that these people were together in one accord and they were in prayer. And I want to explore this prayerfulness from a different angle for a moment or two today, so that we may discuss for a moment how absolutely remarkable it is that we have been given the opportunity to devote ourselves to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Now, it's said, and I believe it's true, that when we read the Word of God, it's God speaking to us. But when we pray, it's us speaking to God. As he has said, if we will come close, if we will ask anything in his name, he will give it. We need to be the recipients of that great giving of God. And I believe it's quite the right thing to do to devote ourselves to prayer. Turn with me, please, to Paul, who is speaking as the apostle that was born out of time. That is, he wasn't with the 12 original apostles, but here he is, a master of the Word of God, an understanding of the things of God. And he's talking to the church in Colossians. And I want to share with you what he says to the church in Colossians. And I'm taking a great deal of this from the Amplified Bible. I'm looking at these precious words where the apostle says, devote yourselves to prayer. This is in Colossians 4 and verse 2. He is saying to the brethren, be people that devote yourself to prayer. Now, one of the great things that we have to deal with in our lives is being prayerful. And it's not as easy as it sounds. I know that we can just call on Brother so-and-so to lead us in prayer at the drop of a bucket at the moment's notice. But I believe that, especially in public, we should have some breathing space so that we can think our thoughts and get them collected so that we may present our prayers very carefully. When we are on our own with the Lord Jesus, we can so much more easily just express ourselves because we devote ourselves to prayer. Verse 2 of chapter 4 of Colossians is important. He says quite simply, continue earnestly in prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us. Now notice, he is saying, you devote yourself, be earnest, be unwearied, be steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. And I believe that we need to be very careful to do just this. For instance, let me ask you, how many of you pray most earnestly for your pastor, his wife, and their children? How many of you take them on as missionaries that need our prayers and they need our great love? We need to express our love in the devotion that we have to those that God has given us to lead us and to direct us and to shelter us and to share with us the Word of God. They are like shepherds looking after sheep. And we know from our own experiences, all of us, with all our experiences, we know perfectly well that it's very easy to get off track. And like sheep, we go astray and we go in our own way and we say things that we don't understand, we don't comprehend, but we say things that aren't correct. Why do we do that? Because we're not in the Word. And being in the Word is very important because God speaks to us through His Word. Well, I want to take us into this, and I want to see this business of devotion, because to devote literally means to consecrate, dedicate, to give up exclusively, to give over. Now, if you look at these definitions, you suddenly find yourself in a position where you're being told to give over. Let's not satisfy the needs of our own selves, but let's look at the needs of others. Let's be concerned, not just with the broken toenail or the rotator cuff that needs to be fixed and all this, that and the other. We're not looking at that side of everything. We're looking at this side, which is very important. The side I'm speaking of is this, that we come into the place where we lift up our hearts before God and we are totally His for those moments. Do you spend an hour a day in prayer? Do you pray without ceasing? Are you one of those that is continually going before God in prayer? I believe with all my heart that you and I have the opportunity to be just that sort of person, because God has said if we ask anything in His name, He will give it. And if we ask of the Holy Spirit, He will give Him. So I look at these people in Jerusalem, the 120, where there is this massive rushing wind that is going on inside the house, not outside. When these people look through whatever aperture they've discovered that they can see through, they look in there and they say to one another on the outside, look at this. They're sitting there, kneeling there, they're praying. But look at what's happening. There is a flame on every one of them, and this mighty wind, this roaring wind, this tornado-type wind that is isolated and insulated to this one purpose, let's look at this. Those flames don't even flicker. They don't go out. They stay working. What is this that's going on? What are we seeing? What are we hearing? And they're asking. But the people inside, there were 120 of them, gave themselves to prayer and devoted their time to praying. And a marvelous thing took place. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was simply this, that when these people eventually opened the door and walked out amongst the people that were there, every man in his own language, speaking in tongues, every man in his own language understood what they were saying. And they were marveled. They marveled in their hearts and said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. How come they can speak all these languages? How come they can share with us in the language that we understand, we know? How is it possible? These are not men of learning, they're men who are fishermen. How come? And the question was asked. But here the Apostle Paul says to Christians that have been Christians for a little while, devote yourself to prayer. Bring yourself exclusively and give over to God time for prayer. Dedicate yourself and bring yourself where you are consecrated to prayer. You're only used for one thing this day, prayer. The only value you have today is prayer, speaking, talking with God. Now, he could have said, there's a volume written, you read that volume. But no, he says, you go and have this experience of devoting yourself to prayer. And I want to challenge every Christian that I come across these days, how is your prayer life? What are you doing with your prayers? Are you lifting up your hearts before the Lord in prayer? Are you delivering your needs to God in prayer? How are you using the wonderful gift of prayer, speaking with God? Now, understand something. You're not just talking to your chum up the road or the fellow that has been helping you fix the car. It's much more than that. The relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ is through the presence of the Holy Spirit. The word holy is in front of the word spirit. And this Spirit of God is absolutely holy. He belongs to God. And in the holiness of that, in the wholeness, in the purified atmosphere of prayer, are you devoting yourself to God in prayer? And I must admit, in my own life, I go through seasons where I am in prayer and seasons when I am not in prayer. But prayer is an increasingly valuable thing that you and I need to be caught up in. We need to devote ourselves to prayer. The prayer of the devoted person avails much, says the scripture, and a person who is devoted comes before God, and people are able to know that that man or woman is a person of prayer. I had a friend who was blind from when she was born, but she was a prayer warrior. She was about, I think, 20 years my senior. She would pray for me every day. And I want to tell you something. Though I didn't have any communication for several weeks that she had died and gone to be with the Lord, I knew that she was not praying for me. I knew it in my heart, in my soul, in that inner person. And I knew she was not praying, and I hoped all was well with her, and was not surprised to discover that she had gone to be with Jesus. Such was this woman, and she prayed for me every day. She lifted me up before the Lord every day. I didn't stand a chance in some senses of going off and doing what I wanted to do, because this woman kept me nailed to that one place where I would be challenged and cleansed and kept. She just kept on praying, and she was not a learned person. Her extent of learning was Braille, but she had learned by heart masses of scripture, and she applied the scripture to her life as best she could, being totally blind. And one of the things she gave her life to was praying. She prayed for the men who were the men that brought the gospel. I was one that she lifted up in prayer. Are you such a person? Some of you will say, well, I have a different view of being in touch with Jesus. I'm not going to argue that with you. You may have all the views in the world that I don't know anything of, but I do know this, that when you devote yourselves to prayer, your yea becomes yea and your nay is nay. And you don't have to get yourself into a great philosophical argument and discussion over things that don't matter. And you don't have to be involved in things that don't matter. I was looking casually this morning through some notes I had. Somebody else wrote this, I don't know who he is. He wrote and said, ask God to lead you how to pray. Pray for a hunger and thirst for Jesus. Pray for revival. Pray Mark 12:30, Colossians 1 and verses 9 through 14, and Philippians 3 and verses 14 through 21. Now there is a challenge, a colossal challenge to every one of us who, believing the word of God, are spread out through Christendom, and we have points of view that don't always mesh with other people's points of view, but that's our experience with God. Let's look quickly at what Paul says in Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard, have not ceased to pray and make special request for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, that is, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, in understanding and discernment of spiritual things, that you may walk, live, and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, and desiring to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. Now, the Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption through His blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. And He goes on. It's a wonderful piece of scripture, and it's a wonderful area to go and look at. Are you in the Word? Are you praying? I have to ask myself, how long do I spend in prayer every day? Well, sometimes I have days where I'm just in prayer all day long. And sometimes it goes into a 24-hour stint, for it's my joy and privilege to be in the presence of Jesus. But then there are other times when I'm so occupied with ordinary things that the extraordinary things don't come by. They have no voice at that time in my experience and life. So to be in prayer, you'll notice if you go to the 12th verse of this fourth chapter of Colossians, how the apostle is talking of Epaphras, and he talks of him very lovingly. He says he's a person who is wrestling with dark powers. Now, here is a place to be. You and I need to understand that the pastor is always wrestling. I mean always wrestling. He's always wrestling with the things not of the flesh but of the spirit. He sees a young man, a young woman. He sees an older person who is in need. And he sees the quality of their lives, and he sees that they're going to slip. And he is fighting, holding those people away from Satan and pushing Satan out of the way. And all the things that Satan brings to bring darkness to those people's souls, the pastor is a man of prayer. And we need pastors to be men of prayer. But there are also other people in our congregation who can be like Barnabas, the son of consolation. You can pray and you can join yourself to the pastor. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things in spiritual places. And the darkness that comes from Satan is always just hovering there. He wants to plunge us into darkness. One of the easy ways to do that is to have a pain, go to the doctor, and he says, you've got cancer. And you come home and you say to your friends, I've got cancer. And immediately it's, whoa, whoa, whoa. Your life is over as far as many people are concerned. Yet the Holy Spirit is saying to you, lift one another up in prayer and see if God will not heal you. There is healing in the wings of the Lord Jesus. We're kept, says the psalmist in Psalm 36, under his wings. And he keeps us. He watches over us. He cares for us. Join in. Do you remember the story where Moses was looking out over the children of Israel and there was a battle going on? And the enemy was fighting with the Israelites. And the Israelites found that while Moses lifted up his hands, the battle went with them, and they were the winners. But the moment his hands got so heavy that he brought them down, why, the enemy were the winners, and darkness was with Israel. And so a couple of the fellows went up to Moses and took hold of each hand, one man for a hand, and they both lifted his hands up until the battle was fought, and the battle was won, and the battle was the Lord's. But it was God showing there needs to be people that will stand by the pastor, by the man who is God's leader, and stand by him in prayer. Don't just be casual about this. Be very informed. Go to your pastor. You men, go to the pastor and say, when are you going to have a time of prayer? Now we're going to come and we are going to pray with you and follow his praying. And whatever he prays for, you pray for. And you hold his hands up in prayer. Be the strength that lifts up the blessing of God. And the presence of God will go before you, and you will be blessed, and the church will be blessed, and the people will be blessed, and all kinds of things will happen that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, devote yourself to prayer. I have to finish in a moment or two because of the time. But to be in prayer means that we wrestle with dark powers. We're told to stand firm on Christ the rock, feet that are planted in solid on the foundation that is unshakable in all the will of God, the rich, gratifying insight into all spiritual matters, heart and mind. There are many spiritual matters that we ignore because we say that's just common sense. Go and pray for it. You'll find that that common sense is spiritual sense, and you didn't discover it until you went to prayer. And the word striving comes up, and very quickly. His energy is working powerfully in and through me. Let that energy work. Let it work with power. Let it work with might. Let it work in me. So, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to consider devoting yourself to prayer and obeying the Word of God. Will you do that? Now, today is the day of the Lord. Redemption is ours for the asking, but we are to be careful in how we treat the things of God. And one of the privileges, enormous privilege, is to be able to pray, to lift up our hearts, to weep and fill bottles with our tears and let them go to the apothecary that God keeps somewhere in his heavenly places. All the tears that we shed. Oh, you've got a broken heart? Let Jesus mend it. Oh, you've got such a desire to be close, but you don't seem to get close. Yes, you will. Just be very quiet and gentle in his presence, and he will lift you up if you are cast down. Dear friends, hear the word of the Lord and devote yourself to prayer. Now we'll look at this from another angle in one or two of our next studies, but I just wanted to share that with you. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we ask that you will give us the responsibility and the ability to lift our hearts up to you, and you will just fill us that we may be devoted to speaking with you and listening to what you have to say. Bless us now and keep us in Jesus and in the power of his might. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. God bless.